As we continue in worship this day, let us be in a time of prayer. Gracious God, we love you and we thank you for this time together, Lord. We thank you for your word for us for today, word that has continued to make a difference in our life yesterday, today, and tomorrow, Lord. And we know that it is a word that transforms us to be more like you in love and compassion for our neighbor. So, Lord, may it be so this day, a reminder that you walk with us each and every day and that you desire for us to be people of the Spirit. We pray this in Christ's holy name. Amen. So I've been moving over the past couple weeks, and so I found these red shoes in my closet. So I figured I'd put them on today. It's because I didn't have the other ones at the right house. Really, honestly. So the scripture for today comes from Romans, will be chapter 8, verses 12 through 25. So last week we read verses 1 through 11, so we're just continuing on through chapter 8 in Romans. And it says, "So then, brothers and sisters, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. For you did not receive a spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received a spirit of adoption. When we cry, 'Abba, Father,' it is that very Spirit bearing witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him." He goes on to say, "I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience." This is the word of the Lord for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. Subjected. Okay, got it. So we're continuing this week and looking at some of the book of Romans. There's a series called Broken, Good News for Tough Times. A series based in Romans as Paul's trying to encourage the church of Rome to be people of the Christian faith. And as we watch in the midst of all that we see on the news, we can get anxious from time to time. There's a lot of crime and violence, and it's escalated through kind of eliciting of fear as our first response, and it creates this anxiousness within ourselves. And if we only paid attention to the news, we would miss a lot of the good that's happening in the world around us as well. Stories of youth out in the world making a difference in the lives of others. You see, however bad the world may seem, we are people who trust in a God of love and grace, and we trust that God is at work in the world, and that's good news for the world. So last week we talked about this internal brokenness that we can sometimes experience in our life as our spirits can sometimes be anxious, and it can cause effects on our personal and physical body as well. As the scripture begins today, we see it continues to talk about the difference of living in the flesh and in the spirit. As Christ followers, we are to live in and by the spirit and not by the flesh. We are to live as people of God and not as people of the world. We are allowed a fruit of the spirit to live within us, to flow through us as people of God, as Christ makes a difference in our life. In Galatians, we read about fruits of the Spirit and what it means to live as people of the Spirit. And these fruits of the Spirit are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I think there's a song that the kids could sing if they were here that Miss Heather's been teaching them over the last months. You see, as we live in the ways of the Spirit, we live in ways that bring the Spirit to life. The ways of the Spirit allow us to bring comfort to our soul and shows us how to live with courage and to encourage others. When we live by the Spirit, we put to death the sinful nature that tries to stop us from joy of life. You see, God calls us not to live as people of fear, but people of courage, who are and will be an example to the world. People who trust that we can make a difference in the world, not only in knowing that we'll one day reach eternal life, but people who make a difference in the world today, not because of who we are in the world, but because of who and not because of who we are in the world, but because of whose we are in Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:26, after it lists the fruits of the Spirit, it says, "For you all are children of God through faith in Christ Jesus, and as we live by the Spirit, we're able to experience what it means to be adopted child of God." Being adopted myself, I know that adoption is an act of grace. The fact that God has chosen us, even as broken as we are, and incorporated us into this Christ-shaped family composed of men and women and children from every country and race and class is a powerful reminder of His grace that He has for us. That we're part of a family that crosses all kinds of boundaries. And we have family members that we've never met in other parts of the world and even here in our own community, but who are loved as just as much as we are by the Father. Who the Father desires to live as people and as a child of God. You know, this identity as a child of God, although it brings life and the gift of life, also entails suffering. And Paul is not saying that we must suffer in order to become like Christ and share in this relationship, but rather that as joint heirs with Christ, we can expect suffering, just as Christ did. Sin and separation from God is evident in the world in so many ways. It's easy to focus on those things. It can be discouraging to focus on those things. It's hard to live faithfully waiting solely for the hopes of the promises of God. It's easier to see the world around us and say, why are we still doing this? Why are we hoping for something? It seems way out there. Why are we even trying to eliminate poverty? And why are we even trying to eliminate homelessness? And why are we trying to eliminate diseases? It seems like such a far-fetched thing. It can often feel like I used to do Orange Theory. I don't do it anymore, as you can tell, but I used to do Orange Theory, and part of Orange Theory was like running on a treadmill. And sometimes we can feel like we're running on a treadmill and we're not even moving an inch. We're just running. It can be challenging. We're living in a time where people are on edge about everything they see around them, and what we perceive is often our reality, where what you see is what you get. But friends, here's the Christian good news, that what we see is not what you get. We have hope in a world that our eyes cannot currently see. We currently only get glimpses. And we know that we're heirs of a future beyond our sight. God calls us to be people who keep plugging along, who keep living faithfully to the ways of Jesus and living in the fruits of the Spirit as God is working with us, pushing us and guiding us to be new creations in Christ. What you see is not what you get in Christ. We live with an eager hope, longing for the revealing of the day when the world will be not as it is, but as the way that Christ first created and intended it to be. Eager hope, rooted in an ability to see what one does not see. There are times that we feel broken, but the good news is that the brokenness is not the end of the story. That the suffering that we see and face is nothing compared to the glory that will soon be revealed to us in Christ Jesus. That there's no struggle, there's no suffering that God can't use to strengthen us. This is God's power to create beauty from brokenness. There's more, and the world is yearning for God to redeem it. I've never physically had a baby. Never experienced labor pains. But I did. I walked, beside my wife, and I went with her to the appointments and the days and the nights of discomfort for her to walk and to sleep, and even the pain of having to switch to decaf coffee. She continued to grow, and we prepared rooms, and we bought the essentials, and we grew in excitement. And yes, I was in the room for a little while until I got nauseous as she delivered our children. I saw the pain of labor and the cries of my wife, but then I also saw the joy. The joy. If you've ever seen or experienced childbirth, you've seen the pain and the joy wrapped up in the process of life. Labor pain is not fruitless pain. It's pain with a purpose, with a promise of new life emerging. If you adopted children, you also know the pain and the joy of the processes of life. Children are gifts that come after a process of pain and discomfort, anticipation and expectation. As we wait, we have hope of new life forming under God's skillful hands. We trust the process that was created by God from the beginning of time. You see, a newborn is fearfully and wonderfully made by God, and new life that we experience in Christ through adoption comes through the grace of Jesus. It's not earned. As Paul writes to these people, they've experienced a lot. They were waiting on Jesus to, they experienced Jesus' death, and they were waiting on Jesus and wondering, and they had anxiousness and waiting. And so Paul was talking about what it means to wait, but he was also talking about what it means to have hope. And one who hopes does not necessarily escape from the suffering of the present time. In fact, in some instances, the one who hopes may be the only one with courage to endure the suffering of the present, knowing that there's more. And as we patiently wait for the day God will give us our full rights as his adopted children, we hope. And hope fuels an imagination for the things that way things ought to be. Hope drives us and empowers us to live as people of God of courage and not fear. Hope empowers us to confront the evils of this age. Hope inspires us to work in the present for things to get better now. Hope calls us to be the church today. And so as we wait in hope, God has given us a job to share the love and to live in the ways of Christ. He's called us to yearn for more. He's called us to cry out when love is absent, whenever life is shortened and freedom is taken away. You see, our hope is not some Pollyanna wishful thinking, but it's reasonable expectation based upon all that we know of a loving God in Jesus Christ. And so as we experience this time of waiting in hope, I think it's crucial to trust the process, to stay faithful to the promises of God, and to be people who live in anticipation of a new birth of freedom, a new day of loving, and an inheritance of life, an abundant life as a child of God. So may you not grow weary of waiting, hoping, and loving in these days. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we give you thanks for your word for us for today. We give you thanks that you are still at work in our life, even as we go through trials and challenges and, Lord, even suffering. We do it as people who hope. Who hope not because we are kind of dreaming, but because of what you have done and continue to do, Lord, and we've seen it evident. And so, Lord, may we trust in that as we continue to live as faithful people who seek your love and your will for our life and for the lives of others. We pray all this in Christ's holy name. Amen.